Welcome to the programme. Ukraine says Russian forces have shelled a maternity ward in Kherson, which it reclaimed last month. Elsewhere, Ukraine's military has resumed its counteroffensive in the eastern region of Luhansk. Two large cities are still under those Russian controls. Well, Charles Stratford has the latest for us from Kyiv. And let's just begin with that attack on a hospital, Charles. Just give us more details about when and where.
Yeah, this attack is understood happened yesterday in Kherson. Shelling, hitting, according to the Ukrainians, a maternity ward. A spokesperson for President Zelensky said that a doctor had literally only just finished operating or giving a cesarean section to a pregnant mum when this shelling started. Miraculously, so the spokesperson said, nobody was injured in that attack. Now, this shelling comes amid seemingly an intensification of attacks by Russian forces from across the river, across the Dnipro River. As you say, Russian forces withdrew from Kherson November the 10th, November the 11th, and shelling has intensified again in the last couple of days, or at least 10 people killed in an attack 2-3 days ago in the center of Kherson, around 70 people injured. We understand that many of the people that had moved back to the city in the wake of it being liberated by Ukrainian forces are now leaving. We've also been getting details about some of the areas that are most intensely being targeted, most specifically an area called Antonivka, which is directly on the banks of the River Dnipro there, the northern bank. Russian positions are only around 700 metres across the river. We understand, certainly according to people that we've been speaking to inside the city, there's around 8,000 people living in that district, and they're coming under heavy shelling and are very vulnerable to sniper fire as well. So this is very interesting in as far as does it represent a renewed push or a push by Russian forces to retake Kherson? I mean, I think it's too early to say at this stage, because, of course, that river is such a huge natural barrier of defence for Ukrainian positions, but this is certainly some of the most intense shelling we've seen since the city was liberated last month.
And of course, Charles, you know, we look at the country as a whole, and generally we could say, you know, it's a tale of perhaps small or large gains, because the fighting is intense with that bombardment continuing. Sort of just bring us up to speed on what we know has happened overnight in other parts of the country.
Well, there are some very interesting developments on the Eastern Front, specifically the around the town of Kremina. Now, Kremina is Russian-occupied. It sits very close to the Lugansk-Donetsk borders. And it is a front line that was established there on the back of that very successful counteroffensive about 2.5 months ago by Ukrainians. That front line around the town of Kremina hadn't moved until a couple of days ago. And now we're getting reports from the Ukrainians, at least, that they are pushing forward again, gradually taking back villages around Kremina. Kremina is important, basically, because if it was to be retaken by the Ukrainians, it would give them an easier access to two of the largest cities in Russian-occupied Lugansk, namely Lysychansk and Severodonetsk. Now, both those cities suffered devastating battles and fighting last summer and were eventually taken control of by the Russians. But yes, that is significant. Also, with respect to the town of Bakhmut. Now, we know Bakhmut has seen some of the most intense fighting in recent weeks. We've heard about probing attacks from the Russian forces from the north and the south of that city. We are now hearing, certainly according to pro-Russia telegram channels, they are advocating that Russian forces should actually withdraw because the situation has become so untenable for them. Now, of course, we cannot anyway independently verify these kind of lines, but in support of that kind of line of reporting, the American-based Institute for the Studies of War is reporting that Russian units or Russian forces around Bakhmut have been, some have been pulled back. They're now going down to what are described as small kind of tactical units. Now, ISW are saying this is a similar kind of thing to what happened in the build-up to Russia's withdrawal, Russian forces withdrawal from Kherson. But military analysts will say this could just be a winter tactic, withdrawing, trying to pull troops back to better protect them in the winter months, and artillery further back. Russian artillery attacks on Bakhmut will continue. But as I say, a lot of moving parts in the east and the south today. Some certainly for the Ukrainian perspective, some encouraging news there.
Charles Stratford for us there in Kyiv. Thank you. Now, Russian President Vladimir Putin has banned oil exports to countries that set price caps on his energy products. Now, the decree will come into effect in February and will last for at least 5 months. Earlier this month, the EU, Australia and the Group of Seven agreed to cap Russian crude at $60 a barrel. The aim is to restrict Moscow's revenue while still supplying the global market. Many countries have pledged to end or reduce their dependence on Russian energy since it invaded Ukraine. Energy exports account for around 40% of Russia's annual revenue and are worth around $1 billion a day. Russia says the cap and other sanctions won't affect its military offensive in Ukraine. Moscow is confident it can find new buyers. Countries such as India and China are still buying Russian oil. Thomas O'Donnell is an energy analyst and lecturer at the Hertie School of Governance in Berlin. He says Russia's oil revenues have already taken a hit.
You have outstanding unity of the entire EU, G7 and so forth, very broadly, on an agreement to very harshly sanction Russian oil. The EU is taking no more oil by sea since the 5th of this month, and by the 5th of February, they won't take any more refined products by sea from Russia. That's a stunning hit to Russia, and now they will enforce this price cap worldwide. Anybody who wants to use any ships insured from the European Union will have to respect this. And already, looking at Bloomberg's latest data a day or two ago, and the shipments from Russia on the European side, the Baltic area, had dropped by 50% in the early part of December when this cap was imposed. So is this, in fact, bravado from Putin? Oh, we're going to cut supplies when they're already being forced to have a significant hit to their supplies.